want to tell you about something I've used and I truly believe in. Replayer. It's a sideline camera built for youth sports. Just set it up, hit record, and it captures the entire game automatically. No chasing the ball, no holding your phone, just hands-free, stress-free recording. The in-game tagging is one of my favorite features. One tap, and you can mark a big goal, ankle-breaking moves, or a clutch tackle. Then pull those clips for later for review, highlights, or social media. And the live streaming's next level. A buddy of mine actually watched his son's game while flying cross-country at 30,000 feet. That blew me away. If you're a parent or coach at the field every weekend, Replayer is a game changer. Head to replayer.com. That's Replayer.com. And I think you'll be amazed.
Hey, soccer friends. I just want to give a shout out to our partner, TeamPlayer. They are changing the game on how you find the perfect soccer team for your player. Parents, this means no more endless social media scrolling to find information on teams. With TeamPlayer, everything you need to know is just a few clicks away. It's simple, straightforward, and lets you find the best coach and team for your player without any of the usual headaches. And coaches, we all know how tough it can be to get your team noticed, but when you subscribe to one of Team Player's team plans, you instantly get access to set up an online team profile that allows you to reach more potential players and showcase what your team is all about. It's super easy and lets players and parents see why your team could be the right fit for them. And if you sign up using the promo code PITCH, you can try any team plan free for 1 month. So whether you're managing a team or searching for one, come on over to www.teamplayer.us. That is TeamPlayer.us. And come give Team Player a look.
Family-owned Soccer Innovation is your go-to source for top-quality equipment. Whether you're a player, a supportive family member, or a dedicated coach, they have everything you need to elevate your game. For players, their innovative equipment are designed to boost your skills and performance on the pitch. From their agility cones to their portable goals, they have you covered. And family members, they offer durable equipment that's built to last because we know your support is critical to your player. Coaches, trust me, they can provide the equipment you need to run effective training sessions and shape the next generation of soccer players. Visit Soccer Innovations at soccerinnovations.com to start elevating your game with them.
And if you use the code PITCH, P-I-T-C-H, you can receive up to 10% off your next order.
Hello and welcome back to Chat by the Pitch. This is Ian Babcock, your host. This week, I have Coach Torres with Paid Soccer Club. Now, if you're like me, you've seen them out at the pitch. You're like, what in the world does this mean? He goes over what it means. And it kind of has a great value for what they're trying to do. The name, what it means, and how it's an abbreviation for what they're doing. And I really appreciate his time sitting down talking with me. I do have to forewarn you, we did have some recording issues with this episode, and there's some issues with it. I worked the best that I could. We recorded it in over 5 pieces. We kept on losing connection recording. The joys of modern technology. But at the end of the day, I think the message he has and what they're trying to do is amazing. So let's start this chat and head to the pitch.
Hi, my name is Reynaldo Torres. I'm with PFC, the paid group, as a matter of fact. We are not just a training program, but also a soccer club. And me within the community, I've been playing soccer since competitively the age of 15 and just continued to grow through it. Played in Classic League for a small independent club. Went to West Mesquite High School. Played varsity there for 3 years and then went on to Hardin Simmons. From there, I gave soccer a pause and then I came back to the game much later on in my life, maybe around to play competitively, 20 7. And that was just to gain more credibility, because soccer definitely doesn't pay the best. And when you're in college, you're waiting and you're working, and you start working and you start making money and you're like, need to get to work. I put school and soccer to a pause and I started my life. But then I just decided to go back, pursue my dream, my career, which was coaching. And yep. I played for the Texas First whenever I went competitive. Whenever I came back to the game with like around 27, which is a little older, but I played for Texas Spurs with Coach Ed. I played 2 seasons there. I always knew I had it in me, and even my college coach knew that I could have been in a better situation if I was academically disciplined, and I wasn't, but that's a learning lesson. And now that I'm older, there's many of pathways to accomplish your goal in soccer, and I wish I knew that then. I was younger, and I was the firstborn, so the firstborn goes through all the BS, people you know you should stay away from and all that stuff. All the new experiences for that once, like my younger brother, everything was easier and more understandable because we've already been through it. But played for Coach Ed there for a couple of seasons. And while I was continuing to do the paid group, extra training on days that we were off from the club, personal sessions, small group sessions, you name it, we do it. I do it, really. And so, here recently, linked back up with Coach Ed, and I'm an assistant coach for the Texas Outlaws. We just finished our season, and that's who I am within the soccer community at the moment. Within our club, we have about 6 teams, 3 that are select, so under contract, and then the rest, which are in the academy phase or recreational. So we start, our youngest recreational team is a 2020. We have then 2016 through 2015 who are in academy and just trying to prepare to go into select. And then we have our 2014 girls, and they play classic league, pre-elite division. Then we have our 2013 boys, and they play classic league division 2, and our 2012 boys, and they play classic league division 2 as well. Our 2012 boys is our oldest age group. From the beginning of our club, I wanted to always work down. So our 12s, really, at some point in time, I had 10s and 11s. Soccer happens, and I no longer had those teams, and we've been building on from the 12s on down since. I only work down, and then we're going to graduate all those players up, if that makes sense.
Right. No, I get what you're saying. And no, because you have to start somewhere. It's every club has their strengths and weaknesses, and you have to start a good club. If you're starting out, you have to start with the younger ages. You can't start with a bunch of group. You can't start with U16s and expect to have your club survive unless you're bringing in coaches that are bringing in younger teams. And I get what you're saying. Like, you have to start young and work your way up. And as you're working your way up, you backfill with the younger teams as you go through the process.
And you know what? And with the 10s and the 11s, I didn't start with them young as I did with the 12s. Like when I got the 12s, they were like 4 or 5. So I'm their first coach. And what I've noticed there is that there's just a stronger bond. The relationship is a lot stronger. And maybe that's what we didn't have within those 10s and 11s. But then we worked through those hard times to then now have a really strong, well-oiled running machine from the 12s on down. Now it's everything is just going.
Yeah, it works. It takes time. And I think parents have to understand I look at it from 2 perspectives. It's the player has to trust the coach undoubtedly. And then the player also has to trust his teammates. And if they can't do either or, it's very hard for anyone to progress if there's no trust between the player and the trust of the teammates. And once you have that, I feel the team will survive and grow and develop, because you start building a culture with everyone. And culture is key, in my opinion, for a club and a team to survive.
For sure. You're hitting it right on the money. I think for everything that I've done, culture has been a big part, because whenever I did away from the game and I said, hey, I need to get a job, start my life. I need to get to work. The reason why I was successful in what I was doing, which was just managing retail, but I had a strong team behind me, and it all started with a good culture. I've now just transferred that over to the game that I loved and grew up in. So yeah, man, you're hitting it right there with the culture.
So let's start talking about Payne. My son's team has played against you, I think, every year for the last several years, either on his current team or his prior teams. And it's always a good competition. I always look at the coach across the field, and I ask myself, will I let my kid play for this coach? Mm-hmm. And as a parent, I don't remember anything bad or negative or over yelling or mean being said. It was always pleasant and very directive, as in not taking away the chance for creativity, not expecting robots. So let's start off really basic. So where are you all out of, and where can we start finding your information to start right there, right out of the gate? And we'll start breaking down the club as we go along.
Awesome. Okay. So we are based out of Mesquite, and you can find our information through social media, Paid FC on Instagram, Paid FC on Facebook. And then, of course, if you're looking for the training side of the program, then Paid Training on Instagram, and it's just Paid. But my phone number is, I know it's on there, and everybody's always free to call me. My email, torresray9@yahoo.com, and always open line of communication with me. That's where y'all guys can find us.
Awesome. So you guys are out of Mesquite. So tell me what PAID stands for. I know there's a meaning, there's an acronym here. So let's start with the acronym, and let's start there. So I found that very fascinating as a parent and someone that's a soccer person. So what does PAID stand for?
Yeah. Professional Academy of Youth Development.
Now you have two sides. You have the club and you have the training, more of the IDP training side of the game. Do you find your players to be more interested in people coming for the club side, or do you find it's about an equal split between the personal training and the team, or do they just overlap with each other because it's all kind of one organization?
It definitely overlaps, because people within the club get perks over to the side. And I think that's a plus when you really put yourself out there. Like, people who are not within my club, I know it can get pricey. And so players within my club get those perks. So it overlaps, but I do get players from outside come in. I get players who have left the club and still want to do the training side with me. So it's a mixture of it all, but I would say overlaps.
That's awesome, because at the end of the day, I think it helps create that bond. Your fields are in Mesquite. Everything's out of Mesquite. In what leagues? Yeah, you already talked about Classic League and Girls Classic League from the sounds of it. What other leagues do you all play in?
Yeah, so, man, I'll start from the littles. We start locally, recreational. The thing about independent clubs is, I don't have the big name. I truly focus on development. And I know that when I get them young, I can then build them up to be good players. Like, I genuinely believe that. And so that's how we're able to form our teams. But it takes time, like you said earlier. And every now and then you do get that good player and you're like, yes. That being said, start at the recreational level and then into academy. When we go academy, we're doing RPL or the Pino. And then from there, that once I know that we have a committed team, discipline, parents, good culture, all that good stuff, we're going to then transition over to select, and we go do the qualifying tournaments. And so we're in Classic League. The ultimate goal in Classic League is to be in first division and really to finish top two to go to Dallas Cup. And if not, to finish top four to be in the Frontier Cup and in the Frontier League, right? And so that way we can continue to stay competitive. We can always look forward to something. And just with those leagues is going to be sufficient enough to, once the boys graduate, that they're going to get these opportunities. So those are the leagues that we do. Oh, so while we're doing Classic League as well, we have our fundamental league, where classic league for us is must win. This is how I carry our culture. If it's promotion relegation, it is must win. And so in the game, I make hard decisions. Sometimes players don't play, but you always have our second league, and those for sure you're going to get minutes. But it also helps those players continue to develop, and then while also as a whole accomplishing the goal.
Yeah, and I just released my Classic League Part 1 episode, and Part 2 comes out this week. And
I was listening to it. Yeah.
And I honestly feel Classic League is by far one of the best leagues in North Texas. Yes, it has its quirks and its nuances and frustrations, but compared to many of the other leagues in the Metroplex, when you start getting into the alphabet leagues that are national leagues and things like that, I still truly believe that a D1 classic team, the top probably four or five teams, can knock out most of the RL teams and some of the other alphabet leagues. And I've had this conversation with a parent, and their child plays in a league, and they traveled to Denver and they smoked every single team they played there. And then they come back to Dallas and they get their butts handed to them by a D1 classic team. And the question is, to me then, is Classic League a competitive league compared to everything else? And when you start talking to coaches outside of Texas, they have no clue what you're talking about. But if they look at the talent that's in there, I think people have to start taking it serious and looking at it as something bigger than it is, because at the end of the day, you have big names that came through it.
That's the thing is, like, if you were from, because I played in Classic League, and if you were from the early ages, just the longevity itself says about Classic League, okay? It's the longest competitive league that's been out there. So that means a lot. That means they don't go away. While we have seen leagues start up and fall, start up and fall. So that alone tells you that the past predicts the future. They've been one of the best leagues. They're going to continue to be the best league because they do things the right way. As far as competitive, I've never stopped thinking that. I don't get, because I've lived it, because I made my own opportunity for myself. Like, I don't get swindled with we have this badge in that league and this league. And when I know that all it takes is this to get to that, which whatever that may be to whomever, it could be college. Okay. I can do that here. It could be professionalism. I can do that. As far as paid, and with the whole Classic League and promotion and relegation, the United States is moving towards that. I don't know if you've heard about USL and how they're going to compete in Division One, U.S. soccer. They're doing promotion relegation, and that's what we've already been doing. So it's coming around to be that, like, Paige's values and philosophies are in line with U.S. soccer. And that's all I want to be. I want to support United States soccer. But, of course, there's so many distractions that can take you away from a good opportunity. And although it's a smaller club and stuff like that, but I know that through the pyramid that we have here within Paid, you're going to get those opportunities, and you're not going to have to go with these. I hate to say it. I know we have a fee, but a big club's fee is way higher than whatever we got going on this side. This is definitely more economical. And man, that's not to say about all those players that we have, that we scholarship, because we know that struggling families and all that good stuff.
And that being said, it's not knocking big clubs or any clubs. It's figuring out, I always say, you have to figure out where your coach is that you like. And I get ridiculed quite a bit from a friend of mine. I always say you chase the coach. You chase the coach that will develop your player the best. It's not about the wins or losses. I always use my daughter as the example. For the first year and a half, they probably lost majority of their games. They probably have a less than a 300 record. But as a parent, I knew different because I had a kid that was already older, gone through a lot of this stuff, these growing pains. And what we saw the coach was doing was greater than the record. And now once they mastered 4v4, now they're jumping to 7v7. And the ones that have been there through a lot of these growing pain years of 4v4 get how to play 7v7. They know how to drop back when a player, if the defender makes the run up, they know that if the wing will have to drop back to cover them, or whoever's playing the top of the diamond, the bottom side of the diamond, however you're looking at it, shape that they play, they know they have to drop. Someone has to drop back to cover that defending position. And I can't get 11-year-olds to do that, but we're getting six and seven-year-olds to do that at this one club, at my daughter's club at Villarreal. So to me, at the end of the day, that's huge. And I that is the thing, like you're talking about, you don't have to have these fancy badges to learn how to play the game. They say they offer all these opportunities, but at the end of the day, you make your opportunities. And this is a parent that has a firm belief in this. If you're good enough, you will be seen. It's a matter of how you do it.
Absolutely, man. There's no doubt in my mind. To chase, when you're already in a good opportunity, when you already have something good, to chase something that's just, it throws off the path that you're in and how you're already moving. And it's all because they're in this moment, they're telling you like, hey, this league right here, this is where we're all going and this and that. But within all reality, again, for me, I always look at the past. How did this club or person or league do in the past? And because it's been one of the best, I'm here to say that Classic League is the best league competitive wise, in my opinion, here in the Metroplex. And specifically because of promotion relegation, that structure there promotes the best to play against the best.
And that's what I feel is missing in our culture. Everyone wants to be on these, nothing against them. I mean, to each parent's own prerogative, if that's what they think they need to do. And right. I've had long debates on the importance of certain leagues, these alphabet leagues that are big names. But at the same time, I guarantee you, if you have a phenomenal baller here, they will get a shot to go play on a team that will sponsor that player and make sure they're on that roster to go play where they can be seen. And at the end of the day, this is where I struggle as a parent, because I look at the system is, I'm going to use the MLS because that's the biggest one. They just created this whole new grant system. If a club develops a player, they can get recognition by applying for this grant. The thing that's missing in the United States is, we sign contracts for players for a year, and if another club comes in at the end of the year saying, I want this player, and they offer him a scholarship, that club that truly developed that player gets no recognition. There is nothing for that club to give praise to. I know a lot about Villarreal just because I talk to a lot of coaches.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and talk to people that follow the La Liga League and trying to explain it to me because I know more about the EPL. But Villarreal is known for finding talent, developing talent, and selling talent. If we had that mentality for youth sports in the United States, horrible as it may be, they become a commodity. These smaller clubs that truly develop players wouldn't have to merge or disappear in June or July one year because they don't have the funding or whatever the case may be. These clubs will pay homage or a recruiting fee for them passing on a player to one of these other clubs. And if we had that type of mentality, I think our culture would drastically change here in the United States. But with you all being a smaller club, how do you market and how do you find talent then to come in? Because it's a doggy dog world.
Definitely. I think I would say for sure, winning helps. An example that I want to get to that you just touched on before I go into that question, and this might answer the question itself. Okay. Through that whole process of the leagues that we were talking about, we do, there comes individual opportunities. I, again, fall on the North Texas side of things, U.S. soccer. So I promote ODP. So if you're that player, if you say that you're that player and you can go do it, go try out for ODP, make the team. And those opportunities that you're seeking are going to be there. But that's one phase of it. And yes, I am all about the next opportunity, the best opportunity for the player. So I'm never going to hold hostage a player who I know that, hey, we don't have what they need to go to the next level. Classic League and all that is, yes, one of the most competitive leagues that I look up to and all that stuff. But then if I'm falling under U.S. soccer, MLS Next is the top league. So if I have that player, and it's not just the player, it's the family. If I have that player, that family They're disciplined. They show up on time. They do things the right way. They're at everything. They're stable because this is what MLS looks at. So once they check off those boxes, then I will go personally take your player there and you'll try out. You'll have a tryout for the academy teams. And that's where I think that the purchase comes in from the club to promoting them to the academy. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
And so if I have my oldest is 2012s, right? I can only make an example of that situation, but I've seen it before in another club that I worked with, and we can do that, and we will get in return something. I know, especially once that player becomes under contract for the first team, that time will come. But the 12s are my example group. There's somebody within the 12s that can get to that point, and that's going to be the first example of it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I'm just, like I said, only working down. I'm not taking other teams for myself or for my team in our organization age groups up. We're going to make example moving down. And that opportunity with ODP, and if you're even above that or you're ready for MLS next at the right age, not just early. You don't just leave early at the right age for the right academy. We're going to promote you to that. But if you leave early, it's not no longer one of those what I have planned for the future.
I get what you're saying. So you're trying to look out for the best interest of the player by making sure that they know that you're not doing a hold them hostage first. At the end of the day, you truly care about their development. And when that moment comes, when they're ready for that next phase, you're going to say, look, this is where you need to go. Go do it. Go give it a try. And we're going to support you 100% of the way there from the sounds of it. If there is, that's very rare. I'll say that for a club to do, because most of the time clubs don't want to lose players. They want to hold them hostage. They don't want to give them up. And my biggest pet peeve.
Don't get me wrong, Ian.
You don't want to lose them.
Lose players either. But I don't want to lose players either. But for the right situation, if you're doing it for the right reasons, then I feel better about losing that player.
Exactly.
But again, that promotion, once that player, I believe it should work like this. I believe that once that player, if I send them to the academy, that player then gets signed to the first team, Pate will receive something in return. It'd be some type of funds. It's like selling I want to say that's how it'll work out.
And I don't disagree with that mentality, because looking at it from how the rest of the world is done, when you make those transactions, I always like the stories you hear behind the scenes stories where they trade players between clubs over in Europe.
Yeah.
And I learned a lot about a lot of the coaches over in Europe. And one thing I did learn is that they trade players. Like, this player is not developing in our academy. Very talented baller, but I think they might be a better fit for you. Do you have a player that you'd be willing to give us? And this is academy players. This is not even professionals.
Wow. Yeah.
And what they do is they'll swap, and all of a sudden this player is either out of contract and they go re-sign with a new club, or the coaches are looking at what's in the best interest of the players. Because at the end of the day, if they're willing to negotiate deals in the background, a player swap or whatever it may be, it creates that trust between the clubs to actually to be able to do transactions later on. I don't know how to describe it much more than that. This was just someone shared some of this insight with me one time talking about behind the scenes transactions. And when they do that, there's no money being exchanged, but they might be going from an EPL academy to a La Liga academy, these players, or from one EPL academy to another EPL academy. But they're doing it out of the love of the player to develop. It's not because it's in the best interest for the team or the club. It's in the best interest of development of the player. And that is what's missing, I feel, truly in our North Texas culture. And from the sounds of it, you really do care about the development of the player and the development of their future. And at the end of the day, you will be rewarded in some manner down the road for that, in recognition or promoting of you all.
So what I wanted to say was, Pate could be anything. It's a training program. That's why it's the company name Pate Group. But it could be a training program, Pate FC, the club. But whenever we're talking about promotion and then the players getting signed and then the club getting something in return, at that point, we will, in if we grow everything for the future, Pate will have agents that will then be able to later
have one. From the sounds of it, you just don't want to be just a soccer club. You want to be the full package where players can come in and have their training development, the team play. And then when they get ready for the next phase, like you said, promotion, you have the agency side. It reminds me of IMG. I can't think of another organization off the top of my head, but that's big. Everyone would know who they are, but that's what IMG is. They do all that, which is one of the largest agencies in the United States. That former U.S. men's national team used to train with them, and they have all these great programs that are great, but they will never be able, none of my kids will be able to go there because of our price range. But that being said, you now with the club, what is the core philosophy and the core goals that you have set out for you all to be doing?
So on a yearly basis, year in and year out, of course, we're always trying to promote within Classic League divisions and get to first division in Classic League, either place top two to then qualify for Dallas Cup and or finish top four to be able to play in Frontier League of first division. And those are up with also the national tournaments, which is the whole State Cup and President's Cup and interregionals and nationals. So those are our yearly goals for the teams.
Now, for player development, how do you approach this pragmatic problem? Because at the end of the day, when someone comes to your practice, do you have what I would call a lesson plan for the season or for the year? Or is this left up to each individual coach to have that mentality? Or is it structured from the top and works its way down?
Yeah, I will say that all paid competitive teams, which is, when I say competitive, three that are signed, select. I'm the head coach of all three teams, but I have a good support system around me with assistant coaches. And really all the way down through the age groups, I'm the head coach of all the teams. I put a game plan weekly and based on what I'm seeing on the weekend. And we then all as coaches go and execute the game plan for the day. For the practice, the teams come in at staggered times. We have specific things that I want. I could start a group with a coach and then move on to the next group as some are stretching, and they all get a little bit of Coach Ray. That's basically how our philosophy is passed down. It's really one guy pushing it with a lot of good support from the assistant coaches.
Yeah. With the club structure, then, are you able to mentor these coaches to allow them to eventually take over a team as the club grows? Or is this just a structure to trying to keep the culture alive? You can do what you need to do at the end of the day.
Yeah. If an opportunity came that I felt like I would love to have full-time employees, I would like to have a coach that will have their own team too, that can grow into having their own team. It would very much start the process how I started with the boys from the beginning, from the recreational ages upward. And when the moment comes, like, of course, if you're full-time, you've been with this team since the beginning. So then at that point, yes, they can have their own team. But right now, based on what we have, I don't see any of the coaches, the assistant coaches, that want to take over and have their own team. These are really volunteers that are working with me and that are getting my direct message. And we're passing on specifically what is on the game plan that I put out. I'm not leaving it up a lot to others, or at least a full team up to another coach.
Make sense? Yeah, from the sounds of it, you want to do it in the proper manner and the proper way where the development's there, the coaching staff has the experience, the development to work with these players to actually foster and grow that love of the game. So as you progress through this process, where are your, because right now you have, what you said, 2010s are the oldest,
yep.
Correct?
2012s are the oldest.
2012s.
Yeah.
And are you hoping to take these 2012s as they progressed up and you get the new 2021s, 2020s coming in. It's weird to even say that.
Right.
It's 2019. Crazy. I start with 2019. I don't feel so bad.
Yeah.
2019s and 2020s coming through. Are you planning on more creating a program where these coaches are now being handed these younger teams? You come in and you're still technically the head coach, but they're running the sessions. They're doing the things until they can be handed off. And then you're going to take the 2012s, hopefully until they're 18, let's say a U18 squad. Is that the goal, or are you more focused on trying to make sure you're truly developing versus the growth of the club? If that makes sense, what I'm trying to ask.
Yeah. As you say, the second response, it's very much of what I want to do. Just focus on development and scale based on where we're at during that time of the year. The tryout season is coming around and I know that we're growing as a club. I could see us having more teams in the club, and I will scale and structure based off of the numbers that come in at that time. But right now, I have to stick to the game plan based on numbers that we have now. And I can't really think so much in too far into the future, because every year brings a different number. The overall goal would, yeah, I would love to create more coaching opportunities for coaches, more jobs within the program. I can't have an agency if I don't have agents. I can't have a training program if I don't have a trainer. I can't do it all. So yeah, I do want to pass some more responsibilities, but doing it properly, making sure that we don't cut no corners, super important to me. I think those are the reasons why we have been able to be in the game for quite some time now, because of we are taking it slow, and we have such a good foundation that it's not like a team who just starts and then, okay, now they're off to the next team and then off to the next team. It's like
you're going through the process. It's not just
a
roller coaster. Now, with that being said, would you be opposed to if a coach that you admire, and would you be opposed for them to come joining the club and running their own team? Because that's sometimes what happens in this upcoming season is it's not always about the coach making money. You have coaches that are always chasing the dollar. I'll be honest. I know several of those out there. But also sometimes it's about having the control to do what they want to do for development purposes. And if your two cultures match, how would you allow that to happen? Or are you more wanting to do what you've been doing, is mentoring and growing the club as a culture, more a culture-driven development process versus bringing people in? Because I know once you start bringing coaches in, it's very hard to control the culture.
No, for sure. And I have experience in that, and with running a big team and running an organization. My background, whenever I stepped away, was business, and I was the district manager in training. So I was able to, I think one of the reasons why we've been able to do it and do it for a while now and not just go from club to club is because we're doing it the right way. And I've had that experience to do that. And it's about promoting, empowering. I can't run a culture and I'm not empowering the next person. Does that make sense? I can't run a business and we're not going to grow at that point, and we're going to plateau. So this upcoming season, and every year I invite, and I'm glad that I'm on this platform now and doing it, I invite other coaches who want to grow, who want to make an impact, to come with paid. And then at that point, I can start working on those kind of problems. Again, I ground my feet. This is where I'm at now, and this is what we're working on. I completely invite those coaches. And then I will have those kind of problems later that I can then start working towards.
I think that's where I personally love to see small independent clubs thrive, because at the end of the day, I feel many of the small independent clubs are the reason why we're getting some great development out of the North Texas community here for soccer. And it's not these big clubs because they're cherry picking players that are developed. And my friend Jeff Ginn, who uses the right banana analogy, is once they're no longer bright yellow bananas, they get rid of them. Once they turn a little brown, they start getting rid of these players that are no longer being developed. And from the sounds of it, you have a structure for development from the personal training. So if you could walk me through really quickly, or however long you want to take, a training session. Are they high intensity training sessions? Are they plan training session. Because to me, at the end of the day, if I'm coming to a coach, I'm going to say, okay, what is your game plan for the next 6 months? If it's a new, if it's majority new players, I know it's a wash. It's going to be a wash season. There's not much hope because everyone has to readjust to everyone. If you're keeping 75% of the players, you have a greater chance of that team thriving in those next 6 months versus the last 6 months. So how do you plan to set up your players through training sessions? Are they planned? Do you have a, what I would call a playbook that you have written that's for you and your coaches to go by? So if you're not able to step in, the coach knows what the game plan is for the next 3 weeks of training sessions, or are you planning your training sessions based off the prior week?
Yeah, I run my sessions based off weekly situations within the teams. You kind of really understand the question.
Let me rephrase it this way. Do you come in with your season? So you have your tryouts, you have your team, you know what their strengths and strong points and weaknesses are. So you write up the next 6 months game plan for them, or are you chasing your tail, so to speak, from the prior week? Or someone put it for me is your week starts on your last game, and it also it ends and starts on your last game, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. Week does.
Yes.
So are you planning your training sessions for the next 6 months to get them where the whole team needs to be in 6 months? Or are you planning on trying to develop a session based off the prior week?
Now, I really understand it completely. So I play the year by seasons. The first season is tryouts off the season, right? So tryouts, and then we're going to off season. I'm working for them to get stronger, faster, in shape for when the season comes. The season, and now we're focused on two things, the team, right? Through training, extra training, and all that stuff. You should be then doing individual stuff throughout the season, right? Because we're going to be working team stuff. But in off season, it's a lot more individualized. Again, we want our players to get stronger, faster, bigger. It's off season. Then comes the winter season, okay? Again, that's off season for us. We're going to get them stronger, faster, more touches, indoor touches. And our practices are based off of those indoor and off season work. And then you go into the spring season, okay? Now we go back to big picture, team situations, things like that. Then we walk out of spring season and you go into the summer. So we're doing tournaments and trying to stay and maintain busy. But that's how I structure around my practices is the year.
Which makes sense. As a parent coming into this, I always ask coach, what is your game plan for the next until the league starts?
Yeah.
Is it tournaments to see where they're at? Is it, and it's, I have a philosophy as a parent, and league is designed to see where you're at. Tournaments is designed to win. This is my personal parent as a parent, because at the end of the day, league is where you try new things. You have more opportunity to see than try to improve on what you're working on team tactics. Is that everyone's first touch go out the window because they were off from spring break or fall break, and now you have to fix the first touch again and improve the first touch, I should say. Improve the first touch.
Yeah.
Because everyone lost it because they weren't on the ball as much, or their passing is not where it needs to be. Is as a parent, I look at it as that way, is that you have league to refine and tournaments are there to win. I know I have coaching friend that says, no, we're going to this tournament to see if our players can handle this type of structure. And we're going to change up the structure in the middle of the game because we get a lot of changes we can do very quickly because we have minimum of 3 games in a 72-hour window, and we can see how things work and how the boys react to it or the girls react to it. Or are, like, from the sounds of it, you don't do that. You're very, can't think of the word, planned on how you go through this process. You use the lows to fix things and work on things. And during the height of the season, it is trying to work on the tactics and improve the tactics.
And specifically, the development process that we're going through is what a professional would go through. In the off season, they should be doing off season work. During the season, they should be focused on team. Off season comes out again, off season, then season, team, practices, and then off season you go. So we're just preparing the player to go through this process. You know what I mean?
I think that is missing. It's people don't understand what a training cycle should look like. The conversation I have with my wife ever all the time is, or any, even my son who's 11, I go, do you understand, like, the pros spend a whole day just working on passing drills? If you go to Barcelona one day a week, you're going to see them working on just passing drills. I get it's different because they're professionals and they're doing this 4 to 5 times a week training. And then they have their game structure with a rest day in there somewhere. And I go, do you understand like just the basic fundamentals? And your coach only gets anywhere from 2 to maybe, and depending on how long your training sessions, if they're 90 minute longs, they might get 3, 4.5 hours with you if you're doing 3 days a week. If you're doing 2 days a week, they're only getting 3 hours with you. So they can't focus on your first touch. And I don't know how to get this through parents either, because at the end of the day, they think training sessions should be about the individual player. I'm like, there's a time and place for it. And when you only have 2 training sessions, you only have time to work on team tactics. Players should be working on their first touches, dribbling, shooting on their own time. That's not something you work on in team tactic time.
So something that you just, that you said is, I don't know how to get parents to understand this. All we can do is try and pass knowledge onto them, educate them on this process. And I really, the reason why, you know, your point you're saying, like, I can't get parents to understand this. Sometimes as coaches, we don't try to educate them. And it's that this question that you asked me, I explained to them that we're on our year, getting his extra touches on the offseason. I let the film run. Sometimes it could be just a straight tactical session. We run through the formations or the formation, what we do, break it down on the board, and then we watch it on film, whatever time we get left over, corner specifics, goal kick specifics, kick off any dead ball specifics. It'll be something like that before the actual film. And then that way we're all in the know of what's supposed to happen, when it's supposed to happen.
I think that's critical for players to understand, to know who's taking what kick, who's doing what thing at what moment. And honestly, it's missing from a lot of teams fighting over who's doing what and when.
Yeah, no, we have a PK taker on every team has their own individual PK taker, free kick taker. It's very structural. It's very structured. Even my wife's like, man, I wish. Just talking to you about the game and how you go about it and what y'all actually do. I never did this growing up. I was like, that's crazy.
It is. And I think a lot of times there is parts that are missing and things that are missing within everything. And it's hard to see. Wife was saying how impressed she was with how you are all doing your placement. What is it called? I'm drawing a blank on it. Set pieces and how you are setting your game up to go. Is there anything that you are currently doing that sets you apart from other clubs and other organizations that can help you be a better organization long-term?
So I would say, and I think that throughout this podcast, you'd hear some of the reasons why we have been able to be in the game for a while now. When I say a while, I want to say 8 years with the club side of things. And it's because of our culture. It's because of the people. And I think that alone itself is what separates from everybody, because what everybody's doing is when I call it shit hits the fan and it doesn't go your way, or you just then leave to the next club or put on the next jersey. And here you have this strong culture, something that we push, or our mantra, family, brotherhood, sisterhood, you have team. So that is what really separates us from others. And I've even noticed, and I know we're not the only club, because where I got it from is through my high school and through college, and we'd always call it out family. But I think it catches on, and even other teams they're starting to do that, I feel like. But I could just be looking as if we set the trend or something like that. But I know it's out there, but I know that we push it a lot.
That's awesome. So I'm going to ask my favorite question to wrap this up. Who has been the greatest influence on you as a player? And it can be anyone. It could be parent, coach. And who has been the greatest influence on you as a coach? And it can be the same people. It can be different people. That's my favorite question to ask.
Yeah. For me, it's a collective of people in my circle in certain times of my life. Mentors, teachers, specific names. Coach Parker in high school, Dan Hager and Harden Simmons. And then colleagues of mine that I've worked with, Carlos Videla, Casey Melton, mentor of mine. This is on the, Casey Melton is on the business side, leadership side. Tony Walter, same thing. And yeah, those people influenced me to be better. And I learned a lot from those guys. And it's been able to transition over to the game and in life. Those are my biggest influences. A very important one to me, Coach Ed. I know he's been on here and he's been a big influence for me. I've learned a lot from him as well and continue to learn underneath him now.
Hey, everyone. I hope you all have enjoyed this week's episode with Coach Torres with Paid. Now, he's trying to do the right things from the sounds of it with his players that he has. I can't speak on what he's doing, but what he wants and the conversations we've had after the recording and up to the recording was great. And I honestly think he wants what's best for what he's doing. Give them a look, see if they're right for you. That's all you can do. If not, just learn what he had to say, because he had some great insight for being such a young man that he is. Hey, everyone. If you guys have enjoyed this podcast, have enjoyed what I've been trying to do, the messages that I'm putting out there, please give me some ratings, some stars on all the podcast sites that you listen to this on. Give me a review, share this, share with others. The more I can make this grow, the more I can continue doing this. I'm really trying to make a difference in our soccer community. So I hope you guys have enjoyed all this. And until next time, I'll see you at the pitch.